The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ ویلکم بیک ٹو آور پروگرام یسٹرڈے ٹوڈے اینڈ ٹمارو الحمد للہ عز و جل ویری بیوٹیفل اینڈ فیتھ ان لائٹنگ پروگرام آئی ول سے بیکاز ایوری پروگرام دا وی ہیو آن دس اوکیزن وی ٹاک اباؤٹ اے ویری فیمس پرسنالٹی ناٹ جسٹ اے فیمس پرسنالٹی بٹ اے پرسنالٹی دا وی کین لرن لیسنز فرام And inshallah azawajal, a very beautiful scholar and one of the greatest scholars of his time, we can say. We're going to be talking about his beautiful life. See what we can learn from his life and what we can adopt in our lives to make ourselves a better Muslim as well. So please don't go anywhere. Stay with us inshallah azawajal, wherever you are at this moment in time. You might be in South Africa, you might be in the UK, in Europe, Canada, America, wherever you are, inshallah azza wa jal, keep with us on this program. Don't go anywhere. Inshallah azza wa jal, whatever we're going to be learning, inshallah, we're going to make the intention to act upon that as well, inshallah azza wa jal. But before we start the program, let's listen to a beautiful blessing of reciting durood and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's final Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "The closest person to me on the day of judgment will be the one who sent the most durood upon me." So now it's up to us. How close do we want to be to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? You know, just imagine if you were living close to a very famous personality, or you were living far away from them and you wanted to see them every day. You wanted to be close to them. You know, people will fight over that. Why? Because I want to be close to that person. Can you imagine being the neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or being so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you can see him, maybe you can talk to him, maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will see you as well. And the beautiful narration is that we recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, I make the intention, you all make the intention to recite durood upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. The servant of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was called Muhammad bin Ali Habbaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He mentions a story of this great Imam, and this is the Imam that we're going to be talking about, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti As-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says that one day at the time of Qailullah siesta, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi said to me, "If you do not reveal this secret before I die, I have an intention of offering Asr Salah in Makkatul Mukarrama." I agreed to keep it a secret. Then he took my hand and told me to close my eyes. After taking approximately 27 steps, he told me to open them. After doing so, I saw we were at the gates of Jannatul Mu'ala, the blessed cemetery in Makkatul Mukarrama. We visited the graves of Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra, Fuzail bin Ayaz, Imam Sufyan bin Uwaina, and many, many more. After that, we entered the haram, performed tawaf, drank zamzam, sat behind the Maqam Ibrahim, and performed Asr Salah. He then said to me, "Do not be surprised, for the earth has been folded for us. You can come with me if you want, or you can come back with the pilgrims." I decided to go with him, and we went to the gates of Jannatul Ma'ala. He told me to close my eyes. And when I did, he took me through 7 steps quickly. Then he told me to open my eyes, and we found ourselves back in Egypt. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. So this is the great Imam, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, the great Imam of his time. So many books Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has written, and you'll find many books that many ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, especially about the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And alhamdulillah, you'll find the name Jalaluddin Suyuti. Now, who was this Imam? Let's learn about his life. From the respected scholars that have lived, the Mujaddid of the 9th century, Shaykh al-Islam Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayhi, is amongst those who wrote the most Islamic books. So he was the Mujaddid, the reviver of the 9th Islamic Hijri. And he was born after Maghrib prayer in 849 Hijri in Cairo, in Egypt. So you can imagine, if we are in 1446 and he was born 849. So that's roughly 849, 10, so about 700 years ago. And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, because of his works and because of his efforts and his mashallah tabligh al-Islam, he had a very, very high rank amongst the scholars of his time. He is also known as Ibnul Kutub, the son of books. So he is known as Ibnul Kutub. One day the Imam's father asked his wife to get a book from the home library. When she entered the library, she immediately went into labor and gave birth. This is why the Imam is known by this title. So he was born in the library of his home. That is why he was given the title Ibnul Kutub, the son of books. His name is Abdul Rahman, and his famous appellation is Jalaluddin, which was given to him by his father. He is more famous by his title than his name. So Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, his laqab, it was Abul Fazl. One day his Shaykh Qazi Ahmad bin Ibrahim Al-Kinani Al-Hambali Rahmatullahi Ali asked him, "What is your laqab?" And the Imam replied, "I don't have one." So writing it down with his own hand, the Shaykh said, "Your laqab is Abul Fadl." And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi followed the Shafi'i fiqh. This is why we call him Jalaluddin Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. The forefathers of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti lived in the city of Suyut. His grandfather was a great saint of Allah, and many people visit his grave in Suyut. His forefathers were respected people of the city, some of whom were wealthy businessmen. So this is another thing. You know, sometimes people think that, you know, when you become an alim of deen, a scholar of deen, then that's the only thing that you have to do. You can't do anything else. Alhamdulillah, if you look at the history of Islam, and if you look at the seerah of the great scholars like Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, even Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, these were great scholars. They were great mujtahids of that time. You know, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Ali, the writer of Bukhari Sharif, he was a great businessman as well. So there's no such thing that if I study Islam, if I become a scholar of deed, if I become a Hafiz-e-Quran, then that's what my field is going to be. No, it doesn't have to be. There are many, many businessmen, alhamdulillah, around the world, even now, there are scholars, there are Hufaz-e-Kiram as well. His grandfather was a great saint of Allah, and many people visit his grave in As-Suyud. And subhanallah, they donated land and built an Islamic seminary in As-Suyud. But his father made the greatest contribution to Islamic knowledge. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi's father was Abu Bakr Kamaluddin Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. He recited the Quran daily. 7 days it would take him to complete the Quran. He also taught fiqh at Madrasa Shaykhuniya, delivered sermons in Jami Ibn Tulun, and was the Imam appointed by the Abbasid Khalif, who respected him greatly. So if you look at the history, his forefathers, you know, alhamdulillah, they were great scholars, and they were just, not just scholars, but respected by the leaders of the time as well. One day, the ruler of Egypt requested through the Khalif that the father assume the position of Grand Mufti of Egypt, a position he declined. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi was 5 years old when his father passed away on the 5th of Safar, 855 Hijri. When the Azan of Isha was called, his father was diagnosed with pneumonia, and attained a death of martyrdom. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who passes away because of dhatul janb is a martyr. Yani the one who passes away with pneumonia is a martyr. After his death, a person saw him in the dream, subhanallah, and said, Allah tested you in the world, so you gained an abundance of blessings in the hereafter. The father replied, this is exactly what has happened. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive our sins without accountability. So you can see that the upbringing of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi was in a very, very pious home. His father was a scholar, and his other forefathers, they were great scholars, they were great businessmen, they were religious people. So this tells us, if we want our children to respect us, to love us, and our children to help us in our old age, then we've got to teach them that. You know, a lot of the time we sometimes think that it's okay, my son's going to become a doctor and he's going to become a lawyer or anything regarding the dunya, and when I retire, he's going to look after me. But sadly, because if we haven't taught him the deen, and we're saying everyone is going to be like that. Alhamdulillah, I know many doctors and lawyers, the mashallah, take care of their parents. But what was the beauty about them? They understood the deen as well. So if we want our children to respect us, to love us, we need to teach them the deen as well. And inshallah as well, in that way, our children will be respectful to us as well. Just the outward pious appearance of parents has a positive impact on children. So does their righteous conduct. If parents are pious, Islamic scholars or muftis who act upon their knowledge, their fortunate children will follow in their footsteps and serve Islam. And this is something that we see today as well in the community. Those parents that are punctual in their salah, they read the Quran, they follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You just need to look at their children. By looking at them, alhamdulillah, you recognize and you understand that these children have come from a pious family. And then sometimes you have children, ma'azallah, who have fallen into drugs, into alcohol, you know, just roaming around on the streets, you know, wearing shorts in the summer. Halanke, wearing shorts, and I just came across a father who was with his son. His son had an imama, salwar, because he was coming out of the madrasa, and the father was wearing shorts. Now the thing is, what is that father trying to teach his son? You know, what, am I right? My clothing, is that right, or your clothing is right? Obviously, the children's clothing was right because he had the sunnah libas, the imama sharif. Obviously, he was right. But why is the father acting like that? Is because he doesn't have that knowledge. Now what will happen, sadly, many of the times what happens is the son might grow up and mashallah want to act upon the sunnah, he wants to have a beard, he wants to wear an imama sharif. And the biggest obstacle, sadly, that they will have is the parents at home, the family members. Oh my God, what are you doing? Yeh kya karna hai? You know, are you going to become a molvi? And I'm sorry to say this, you know, sometimes I thought this was the past, but there's a lot of families that are like that as well. I got a phone call from a young and he wanted to travel on the Qafila of Dawat Islami. And I said, that's fine, but because you're about 16, 17, you need your father to travel with you or some elder person, because we don't allow anyone under 18. And he goes, but my dad doesn't want to travel on the Qafila. So I had a word with the dad and he goes, you know what, he's stupid. You know, he doesn't need to go on the Qafila. He needs to study. Now, you know, fast forward nearly 15 years later, that same son is now on the streets, you know, in drugs, in alcohol. And the father approached him, one of the brothers, and he says, oh, why don't you take my son on the Qafila? It's too late. I'm never going to say it's too late, but what made you say that 15 years ago? You broke his heart. And now, instead of coming towards the deen, astaghfirullah, he's gone on the wrong path. We do try to bring everyone to the straight path. We make dua for them as well. But the father and mother, they play a very, very crucial role. If you don't play that role at the right time, sadly, it's going to be that our children will just go away. And this is also apparent that if you look at the life of Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, the incidents in his father's life are lessons for those who want their children to follow the sunnah. If you become pious, offer salah, adopt the sunnah, raise your children according to the teachings of the Quran and Hadith, make them memorize the Quran and become scholars, then the mercy of Allah, you will see how they will support you in old age and become a cause of honor for you after you die. A beautiful thing. You know, so I've mentioned this many times, a father who worked all his life, day and night, worked really hard for his family, for his children, and when he dies, 1 year later, the family doesn't even know their father. You know, and ask you the question, if you are parents and you're watching this program, just imagine, you know, at this moment in time, you're working day and night for who? For your children, so that they can have a better life. They can have an easy life. But just imagine when you die, 1 year later, your children, they don't even do Fatiha for you. How will you feel inside your grave that I have left the world and my children have forgotten me? At that time, you will need your children. And if your children are nowhere to be seen, they don't come to the masjid, they don't offer their salah, they don't read the Quran, then what's going to happen? Have we ever thought about that? What's going to happen when I die? Okay, we're still alive, we might be fit and healthy, nothing wrong with that. So now what happens is when you're fit and healthy, you don't think of these kind of things. You don't even realize that one day you could be seriously ill. You don't realize that one day you could be needing your children. But if we don't give them that proper Islamic education, how are we going to bring our children? How are we going to supposed to ask them to even look after us? Teach your children about the pious predecessors. This is very, very important. Sit at home with them. Read the stories of the pious people, the Sahaba Ikram, the Ahlul Bayt, the Awliya Allah. Talk to them, teach them their lives, because their lives are full of blessings. This is why one of the reasons why we started this program was so that we could learn from the lives of these pious people, so that we could be teaching our children, so that inshallah, our children can look after us when we need them. Just now, you're looking after them, aren't you? So you're looking after your children, you're working day and night, working hard for who? For your children. But when you need them, and if they're not there, it's going to be really, really difficult. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, he says, my father would take me to scholars when I was a child. When I was 3 years old, he took me to Imam Ibn Hajar and a saint called Sheikh Muhammad. They prayed for me to be blessed. Now, the early life and the education of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, we're going to be learning about that as well, inshallah, azza wa jal. But before that, we have a very beautiful kalam, and then inshallah, azza wa jal, we'll come back and inshallah, azza wa jal, we'll talk about this beautiful personality. So don't go anywhere. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, ya Rasulallah, ya Habiballah, ya Habiballah, ya Nabi Allah, ya Nur Allah, ya Nur Allah. Faiz unke aam ho gaye, ho gaye. Faiz unke aam ho gaye, do jahan ghulam ho gaye, ho gaye. Do jahan ghulam ho gaye, unke jo ghulam ho ke imam ho gaye, ho gaye. Waqt ke imam ho gaye, faiz unke aam ho gaye, ho gaye. Faiz unke aam ho gaye, do jahan ghulam ho gaye, ho gaye. Do jahan ghulam ho gaye, naam lewa unke jo jo hue, unke unche naam ho gaye, ho gaye. Unke unche naam ho gaye, faiz unke aam ho gaye, ho gaye. Faiz unke aam ho gaye, do jahan ghulam ho gaye, ho gaye. Do jahan ghulam waasta diya jo aapka, aaka. Waasta diya jo aapka, mere saare kaam ho gaye, ho gaye. Mere saare kaam ho gaye, faiz unke aam ho gaye, ho gaye. Faiz unke aam ho gaye, ya ghulam عرش سے وہ جا کے عرش پر فرش سے وہ جا کے عرش پر رب سے ہم کلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
رب سے ہم کلام ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
جب بلایا آقا نے جب بلایا آقا نے خود ہی انتظام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
خود ہی انتظام ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
مصطفیٰ کی شان دیکھ کر مصطفیٰ کی شان دیکھ کر بادشاہ غلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
بادشاہ غلام ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
جہاں غلام ہو گئے
مقتدی ہے سارے انبیاء مقتدی ہے سارے انبیاء مصطفیٰ امام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
مصطفیٰ امام ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
ان کے عام ہو گئے دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
وقف نعت خوانی اے ریاض وقف نعت خوانی اے ریاض میرے صبح و شام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
میرے صبح و شام ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
فیض ان کے عام ہو گئے دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
ہو گئے
دو جہاں غلام ہو گئے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ ویلکم بیک اے ویری بیوٹیفل کلام الحمدللہ عز و جل انسٹیلز دا لو آف دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان دا ہارٹس مے اللہ عز و جل بلیس دا ریسائٹر اینڈ مے اللہ عز و جل بلیس یو آل فار لسننگ ٹو دیٹ ایز ویل اینڈ اے ویری بیوٹیفل پیکیج نو ڈاؤٹ الحمدللہ اف یو جسٹ جوائنڈ اس دین ویلکم یو آر واچنگ یسٹرڈے ٹوڈے اینڈ ٹمارو And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if you've been joining us before the package, we were talking about the life of one of the greatest scholars of our deen and the 9th Hijri Mujaddid of his time, the reviver, Imam Sheikh Jalaluddin As-Suyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ali. And today what I've learned, Alhamdulillah, is that his real name was Abdul Rahman. Yeah, so Alhamdulillah, I've learned something, you've learned something as well. Now, the early life of Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and his education. Before the Imam's father passed away, he made a will to several people for the upbringing of his son. You will remember he was only 5 years old when his father passed away. After that, Sheikh Kamaluddin bin al-Humam al-Hanafi rahmatullahi alayhi arranged for the issuing of a stipend for him from Madrasa, Sheikhunia, and paid special care to his education and upbringing. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi learned from the great hadith masters of his era. Now, his journey to acquiring this knowledge, you know, if you look at the history and you look at the great scholars that we know of today, They struggled. Nowadays, you can learn your deen sitting at home on your TV, on your computer, on your mobile phone. It's so easy to learn the deen. But it's so, you know, people are so back, laid back, so lazy. But in the olden days, people used to travel hundreds of miles around the world, and they still, alhamdulillah, managed to learn their deen. He had a very strong memory. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi had a very strong memory. And he memorized the Quran at the age of 7 years old. Subhanallah. I was 7 years old, just about to manage to read the Madani Qaida. But Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi became a hafiz at the age of 7 years old. So you can imagine, you know, sometimes we say, yeah, but they were scholars, they were awliya Allah. Yes, they were. But if you look at the efforts and the struggle their parents did for them, they were not, you know, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi's parents must have put a lot of time and effort behind him. He studied inheritance laws from Sheikh Shihabuddin rahmatullahi alayhi, an expert in various sciences and jurisprudence. He was granted permission to teach and issue legal verdicts, yani fatwa, at the age of 27. He traveled to Syria, Arabia, Yemen, India, and Western lands to gain knowledge. He learned from Sheikh Jalaluddin Mahli rahmatullahi alayhi twice a week for a year. When the Sheikh passed away, the Imam completed his unfinished tafsir of the Quran, which then became famously known as Tafsir-e-Jalalain. Now, Tafsir-e-Jalalain is one of the greatest works of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi. It's the commentary of the Quran, and many, many great scholars, big scholars that we know of today that are alive, many big institutes, they have Tafsir-e-Jalalain as well. Imam Jalaluddin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, one day I mentioned to my teacher that I could not find a narration, and he cited in his book at the reference he provided. Instead, it was in another book. As soon as I mentioned this, he added marginal notes in his book at the position of the incorrect reference, without checking the reference I provided. This increased my respect for him immensely. And considering myself lowly, I pleaded you could have waited to verify the reference first. So subhanallah, that was Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, his teacher. That's how much love and respect the teachers had for him, because he knew, his teacher knew that he was a great scholar. You know, his teacher knew that he had a very good memory. So as soon as he told him that you made a mistake here in the reference, he immediately accepted that. This shows the humility of the teacher and his manner of encouraging his intelligent students. So that's something that we as teachers or we as parents can take on board as well. That whenever our children tell us something that, and that is, you know, they tell us off from something, or they highlight a mistake that we've done, immediately take that on board. Instead of saying, what do you know? You know, you're just a little child, get away from me. You don't know anything. I'm your teacher, I'm your father, I'm your mother, I know better than you are. You know, instead of discouraging them, encourage them, make dua for them as well. There is another important lesson here, that even when you become a teacher, the door of rectification never closes. So this is a beautiful lesson for the teachers, that even if you become a teacher, never ever close the doors of rectifying yourself. Always be in a position where people can be approachable. You know, be approachable. Any person, could be a teacher, could be a parent, be approachable. So if someone comes to you and they approach you and they say, you know, you made a mistake here, just put your hand on your heart and say, I'm sorry, I'll rectify it. Rather than saying, who the hell are you? Who are you to say this? What's your authority? Instead of that, going to the hall, you know, going through all this rigmarole, just accept your fault and try to be, you know, following that as well. If someone corrects you, even your students, you should not feel ashamed. Humility only increases your honor. So the more ajzi you have, the more sincerity, the more humbleness you have, the greater your rank. The greater your rank you have in front of the eyes of your students, in the eyes of your parents as well. Bay'ah, pledging allegiance to an accomplished spiritual guide with correct beliefs who fulfills all the conditions of spiritual mentoring. This has been the practice of Muslims for centuries. It is a means of acquiring spiritual blessings. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti pledged allegiance to Sheikh Muhammad bin Umar al-Shazli rahmatullahi alayhi, who hailed from the Shazli spiritual order. So if you look at it, these great saints, they were murids of pious, you know, sheikhs. So if you are not murid, If you are not a disciple or any sheikh, then alhamdulillah, I would invite you to be the murid or the talib of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Sheikh Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah. And you see him on Madani channel. You see his sincerity, his humbleness. MashaAllah, Dawat Islami is alhamdulillah actively working in more than 150 countries around the world. More than 100 departments. Jamia, madrasa, building masjids, departments, jails, hospitals, you know, law bars, you know, FGRF, humanitarian work, so much. You know, you might know a few charities, they might do humanitarian work, you know, relief work. But Dawat Islami does that as well. You might know a charity that, you know, teaches children how to read the Quran. Dawat Islami does that as well. You might know a charity that teaches children to become scholars. Dawat Islami does that as well. You might know a charity that builds masjids. Dawat Islami does that. So these are charities who do one or two things. Dawat Islami has 100 departments, alhamdulillah. And the leader and the founder of this great organization is Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah. So if you want to gain blessings in this world and in the hereafter, do bay'ah on the hands of Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah. And just go onto the website, dawatislami.net, to become a murid. Or, alhamdulillah, azawajal, online, you can become a murid as well. Along with his marvels in Islamic knowledge, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi possessed a lofty rank in piety. Not just a scholar who wrote books or was an imam of a masjid, he was a very pious person. He remained absorbed in the remembrance of Allah at most times. And this is one of the most important things that you'll find in a scholar of deen. He will be engaged in worship. He'll always be engaged in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. He performed tahajjud every day, and if he missed it, he became ill due to grief over not having offered it. Allahu Akbar. He became ill. Why? Because he missed his tahajjud. Do we fall ill? Do we worry about it? Do we ever think about it? Now what will happen to me if I, you know, miss my Fajr Salah? I'm not going to say we're not bothered, but sometimes we don't feel anything. We think it's fine, it's okay, khairiyah. I'll do qaza later on. What is qaza? There should never be anything like a qaza. You should offer your salah ada. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, he performed tahajjud every day, and he would become ill due to the grief of missing tahajjud. For his sake, may Allah grant us that position as well. And where his piety was, he was a great ashik of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a very beautiful story about him regarding the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he had. And let me just mention to you that before I mention that, inshallah, we have another very beautiful package. Let's watch this package and we'll come and we'll talk about his love for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once asked by the leader of a tribe, describe the beauty of your Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, I cannot describe it in detail. He said, then mention it briefly. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, just as the Creator who sent him his messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is also accordingly perfect. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu captured the entire ocean within a drop. Meaning, if the one who sent him is the Creator and he is beloved too, then you can imagine the splendor of his beauty. The well-known poet of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, the Sahabi Sayyidina Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, describes the beauty of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam in the following manner. He says, wa ahsanu minka lam tara qattu ayni wa ajmalu minka lam talid an-nisa khuliqta mubarra'an min kulli aybin ka annaka qad khuliqta kama tasha. O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, my eyes have never seen anyone more beautiful than you. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, no woman has ever given birth to anyone as beautiful as you. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you were created free from all the defects. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, it is as though you were created how you desired. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, that was the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the companion Sayyiduna Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In just a few words, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? He was perfect. He was perfect in everything, subhanallah. Now, if you've got Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who's perfect in everything, Allah azza wa jalla has made him, well, you know, as a role model for the ummah. He's become as an al-muallim. He's a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah mentions in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest role model that we should have. Not any other person but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, there's a certain wearing of cloth which covers the head and shoulders in a particular manner, and he wrote a book regarding this, and he encouraged his students to act upon it as well. So he revived a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a manner that he was now encouraging his students as well. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, subhanallah, his memory. You know, just him. How many hadiths do we know? How many do I know? How many do you know? Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, he says, I have memorized 200,000 hadiths. Allahu Akbar. I don't know, 20. Forget 200,000. And he says, would have committed more to memory if I received them. So he only received 200,000 and he's learned them all. I traveled to Makkah to perform Hajj and made the following dua after drinking Zamzam. May Allah grant me the rank of Sirajuddin Bulqini in jurisprudence and the rank of Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani in Hadith. The acceptance of this dua can be gauged from the following statement of the Imam. Alhamdulillah, I have mastered 7 sciences, Quranic exegesis, Hadith, jurisprudence, Arabic syntax, semantics, expression, and rhetorical embellishment. But subhanAllah, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi mastered all of these fields. And now another beautiful thing that we learn. Whenever you drink zamzam, make dua. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whatever dua is made at the time of drinking zamzam, Allah azza wa jalla will accept that dua. So Imam Jalaluddin rahmatullah alayhi, he made a dua to become a great scholar. His dua was accepted and he became one of the greatest scholars. So inshallah, a lot of people, they come back from Umrah, go and visit them, drink zamzam, make dua. Or go yourself and drink zamzam water, make plenty of duas for yourself as well. Abul Fazl Imam Abdul Rahman Abul Bakr As-Suyuti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi had special proficiency in hadith and his books attest to this. Taqiyuddin Ojaki rahmatullah alayhi tested the Imam by sending him hadith with changes to the narrators. The Imam explained the principles and ranks of the hadith and sent them back. Taqiyuddin Ojaki rahmatullah alayhi visited him, kissed his hands and said, by Allah, I did not think you knew any of this. Forgive me for what I did. So he tested him. But that was his great knowledge, that subhanallah. Abdul Wahhab al-Shairani rahmatullah alayhi says, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti was the most knowledgeable person of his era in hadith and principles. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Shazli rahmatullah alayhi tells of how the Imam once said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam whilst I was awake. He addressed me by saying, O Shaykhul Hadith, O Messenger of Allah, I replied, will I enter paradise? Yes, he declared, without any punishment, I asked. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is like this for you. Then subhanallah, he will enter paradise without any punishments. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He explains that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. and I asked if I could read some of Jam'ul Jawami of to him, which is one of my works in Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Read it, O Shaykhul Hadith." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling me with this was a glad tiding, better than the world and everything in it. Subhanallah. Just imagine, you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dreams, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses you with Shaykhul Hadith, Shaykhul Quran, Shaykhul Islam. How would you feel? Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself calling you with these titles is an amazing thing. Allahu Akbar. The Imam, he says, there is no one in the East and the West who possesses more knowledge about Hadith and Arabic than me. The only exceptions are Prophet Hidr, a Kutub, or a saint. Subhanallah. So he says it. It could be Prophet Hizr alayhi salam, or a Kutub, or a saint that know more than me, but a regular person will not know more than me in Arabic and Hadith. Subhanallah. That is why Sayyidina Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi is known as the Shaykhul Hadith of his time. And subhanallah, someone wrote a letter to Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi asking the Imam to commend him to the ruler. And the Imam replied, "My brother, up till now I have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 75 times whilst I was awake." So he's seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his own eyes. And he says, "If I did not fear that meeting such rulers would deprive me of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would surely speak in your favor to them. I am a servant of Hadith. I need to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding Hadith which were classified weak by the research of Hadith masters in order to correct them. Without doubt, this benefit is greater than the personal benefit you would receive." So someone asked him that, "Can you put a word through to so and so ruler?" And he said, "If I had not the fear that I see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my wakeful state, if I go to these rulers for you to put a word through, I might not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I need him for the Hadith to guide me. So therefore, I'm sorry." And this is a lot of times, sometimes people come and they will ask you, "Oh, can you have a word with that person?" I can't, I'm sorry. It's not in me to go to these such people. In the gathering of Noor Muhammad Maharvi rahmatullah alayhi, the books of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi were mentioned, and the former said, "Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every day in a wakeful state." Subhanallah, he was awake every single day. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after Fajr Salah. He did not go outside until he saw him. There are some who experience this, and there are others who reject these incidents without cause. Some people, you've got a habit, don't believe that. That can't happen. Anything can happen. If Allah wills, inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, our aqidah is indeed Allah's power over everything. If He wants, why not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why can He not come into the dreams in a wakeful state and show His beauty to his followers, His slaves? Of course He can. For those people who don't believe, we're not arguing with them as well. They just need to see a doctor. Abul Fazl Imam Abdul Rahman Suyuti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, regarding his teachers, he says, "The amount of people I listened to, those who gave me ijaza and those who taught me even one verse of poetry, these amount to approximately 600. As for specialist sheikhs, I learned from 150. He had many students too. Hafizul Hadith Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Shami, al-Salihi, al-Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, author of the renowned Subulul Huda wal Rishad. He was also a student of the Imam." Subhanallah. So he had great teachers as well as great students as well. We've got another package to show you. Let's go towards that package and we'll come back and inshallah we'll learn a bit about his serving of the deen as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My respected viewers, many actions are mubah, that is, they're permitted. Mubah is the permissible action that is indifferent whether it's performed or not performed. That is, performing a mubah action will neither earn a reward nor a sin. For example, eating, drinking, sleeping, waking, amassing wealth, giving a gift,
wearing a fancy or an additional dress, etc. These actions are all mubah, that is, they are permitted. However, if we pay a little attention, we can earn reward by making a mubah, that is a permitted action, worship. While describing its method, my master Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam of Ahle Sunnat, Maulana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi states, every mubah, that is a permissible action, is similar whether performed or not. But that same mubah becomes a mustahab through good intentions. Honorable jurisprudence state, if a good intention is made before carrying out mubahat, that is such permissible actions, performing which is neither reward giving nor a sin, reward will be granted upon them. For example, eating food contains neither a reward nor a sin. But if we make the intention that we will eat this food and get energy from it, through which we will be able to perform worship properly, now eating the same food will also become a source of attaining rewards. A Muslim should have greed for good deeds. I mean, he should perform a good deed where he gets a chance to perform it. Because on the day of judgment, people will be worried even for a single good deed. But at that time, no one will get a chance to perform a good deed. The best way to earn virtues is good intention. You should also try to make some intentions whenever you perform a good deed. Alhamdulillah, it is from the blessed habits of my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir Ahle Sunnat, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, that whenever he performs an action, he makes good intentions before it. May Allah Almighty enable us to adopt this good habit by His virtue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In 867 Hijri, he was appointed to the role previously held by his father in Madrasa Shaykhuniya. Subhanallah, what a great achievement, huh? His father had that role in the madrasa, and now after his father passed away, he was only 5 years old, and now he has taken over the role of his father as the fiqh teacher. In 871 Hijri, he began issuing fatawas. Over time, his fatawas became widely famous in Arabic and non-Arab lands. He said, to announce the blessings of Allah upon him, only Allah knows the number of fatwas I have issued. I wrote separate books regarding issues scholars differ upon, which are over 50 in total. As for my fatwas, they comprise 3 volumes of work currently. So subhanAllah, he's not only issuing fatwas, he's teaching the faith. Just imagine how busy Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi became. In 872 Hijri, he started teaching hadith in Jami Tuluni, where Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani once did the same. Allahu Akbar, that same madrasa, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, another great scholar of our time. He says this tradition had stopped for 20 years when Ibn al-Hajar passed away, but the Imam restarted it. In 877 Hijri, he became the head hadith expert of Madrasa Shaykhuniya. Subhanallah. His first book, Imam Jalaluddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, I began writing books at the age of 17 years old. His teacher liked it immensely and penned an endorsement for it. Most of his books became famous during his lifetime in Arabia, Syria, Yemen, and Western lands. So even when he was alive, his books became so famous across the world. One of his students had a dream and told Sheikh Salih Muhibuddin about it. The latter interpreted in it and replied, the knowledge of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti will spread to the east and west before his death. Subhanallah. So from Shamal to Junub, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi's knowledge will spread over the world. The Imam authored books swiftly. Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmatullah alayhi said, if he did not have any miracles, his lengthy books on important and intricate topics of faith attest to his rank and greatness. You know, sometimes people think, yeah, what was his miracles? Could he fly in the air? Could he walk on water? Look at his works. You know, these are great miracles of the people as well. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said regarding 18 of his books, according to my knowledge, nobody in the world has written books like these, and nobody in this age will ever be able to do either. So he was so, you know, Subhanallah, firm in his belief that no one can write books like him as well. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi wrote the book. In this he explains the blessing and favors of Allah. He writes, despite being a mujtahid, I did not leave Imam al-Shafi school of jurisprudence when delivering verdicts. So I do not call myself a mujtahid out of pride, but to announce the blessings of Allah and to thank him. So he was a mujtahid himself. He didn't have to follow Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi because he had immense knowledge himself. But he says, I still followed the Shafi'i school of thought. Subhanallah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala, he is passing away from this world. Imam Najmuddin Muhammad Ghazi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi, he says, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti was an erudite scholar, imam, researcher, memorizer of this and Shaykhul Islam. His books have benefited many. And subhanallah, even today, his books are benefiting the Ummah. And his Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala, he passed away on Friday 19th of Jamadil Ula, being the 17th of October 1505. He passed away in Rodatul Miqyas on the banks of the River Nile, and he is buried near Bab Qarafa in Cairo. So if you ever have the opportunity, you go to Egypt, forget the pyramids, go to the mazar of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi, and also the great Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi. He is buried in China as well, and many other ziyarats in Cairo as well. So may Allah Azza wa Jal bless us and make us all follow this great Imam. May Allah bless him as well. Ameen. Inshallah. Jazakallah khaira for watching. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Allah.